99.3 Nigeria Info. Good morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. How are you? We are into the last 1 hour of the show, and we continue our series on Road to 2023. If you've been following us on Nigeria Info, you know that we've been bringing presidential hopefuls on the show, on our shows, you know, across our shows, really. We've had virtually, you know, the major parties here, all the big contenders. Bukola Saraki was here. Peter Obi was here. Damu Garba was here. Chukwuka Moye has been here. You know, quite a number of people who are vying for the office of the president have been here on Nigeria Info. And we will continue to bring them closer to you, because that's how we can fulfill our own obligation towards making sure that your decision come 2023 is predicated on good, solid information, knowledge of your candidates. Well, right now, they're still aspirants. So today, we continue on that path with the only female presidential aspirant under the PDP. I'm going to confirm this as we go along on the show. Her name is Tarela Oliver. Despite not winning during the last general elections, she appeared ready again to take the bull by the horns as a young nationalist. According to what I have got here in front of me, Tarela recently in April declared to run for president in 2023, while announcing her intention to run for the highest office in the land. The PDP presidential hopeful said, and I quote, "Once elected as president, I will reposition Nigeria for purposeful, meaningful governance and development." Tarela is right here with me in the studio. Tarela, good morning to you, and thank you for coming around.
Good morning, and thank you for having me. It's excited to be here.
I'm going to start with your age. Are you 37 or 38?
37.
37?
Yes.
37. Why the office of the president?
Yeah, because I've tried to run for other offices, and I've discovered over time that it's actually meaningless, because it's the office of the president that can address majorly the issues we are dealing with in Nigeria today. Issues of insecurity, issues of economy, issues of power, the major driving issues that we are dealing with has to be addressed from the center, because we are running a dysfunctional system of government that will never work. That's why it's not worked in 61 years. You cannot run a system where everything happens in Abuja. It's not decentralized down to the 774 local government. You do not deploy technology. You do not have data. So you can be living in falsehood. That's why I call the government. Because they do something, they make a lot of noise about it at the center, but it's not replicated at the state, at the local governments, even at the community level. So we need to change the system of government and give the people the enabling environment for them to earn a living for themselves, pay taxes to government. Then from there, we can talk about development, redevelopment from there. But the system from up to bottom right now is not getting to the man on the street. It's not getting to the man who doesn't know anybody. So we need to rejig the system.
Let's talk about rejigging the system. What would you prefer the system is transformed into?
Yeah, I have a vision for the United States of Nigeria.
What does that mean?
That means that everybody should be accounted for and be accountable to the state they reside.
Okay.
And so we should jettison this pattern of ethnicity and indigenship. It's not helping us. You know, we are saying that the only way Nigeria can progress is for people to be patriotic. You cannot get people to be patriotic when somebody moves from Oyo to Lagos, it becomes a non-indigene. Somebody moves from Lagos to Ogun, it becomes a non-indigene. Somebody moves from Delta to Bayelsa, it becomes a non-indigene. No, we should have a state of residence policy whereby everybody within the state is accounted for and accountable to the state government. We have a state government, right? Nobody lives at the borders. Everybody lives within the space of a state. Right. So what that means is that if you deploy data, you should be able to know how many people residing within your state.
Right.
So that is what we determine you providing education, providing healthcare, providing security. And when these things are in place, then the people will be able to work and in turn pay taxes to the state government. So at that point, we now decide maybe state government can take 80% or 70%, and we meet 20% to the center. But the system now that is coming back,
right,
like from the center to the people, that's right, not how a system progresses. Mm. Because that way, the people are not progressing. Over 65% of Nigerians are in the informal sector. The government is not taking care of them. The government really does not care about them. Mm. So they should be empowered to care for themselves, and at the same time, be empowered to be able to add value to the system in terms of residence. If you come from, let's say, Enugu, and you're residing in Lagos, you in the morning, you will not take your child back to school in Enugu. Mm. The child will school here in Lagos. So there's no point for you asking the child state of origin. It has to be state of residence, because the education of that child will be domiciled within the state they reside. So by the time you run the state of origin and that sort of policy, you may not have accurate data in terms of planning. Mm. And that is why we are unable to plan for the future of the children. And that is why we have over 30 million out of school children. And that is why we have over 60 million Nigerians unable to read and write, because over the years, government has not planned for them.
I like that you've headed towards the direction of education, but let's slow down a little bit. Let me talk to you about the price of the nomination form for the PDP. For the women, it's 50% off, right?
No, it's even lesser than that.
Okay.
Yes, it's about more than 70% off, probably 80% off for the women.
Oh, all right.
Yes.
So have you obtained your form?
Yes, I've obtained my form. I've submitted my form, and I've been screened, and I'm cleared to contest the primaries.
Yeah, so you've been screened and you've been cleared?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the reason I asked that question is to know your background. What do you do?
Okay. So I've been a volunteer all my life.
Okay.
I've worked in several sectors. I'm a professional fitness and lifestyle coach. So at some point, I was managing a fitness center in Radisson Blue, then at some point, Shell. And all of that was going side by side my other jobs.
Mm.
You know, I'm into tourism. We were running the Nollywood Beach Resort at some point.
Mm.
I'm also into acting and production. We co-produced the first anti-corruption movie for EFCC,
okay,
titled Classical Fraud, because at that time there was just a lot of fraudulent issues going on. So we wanted to depict to Nigerians some of the tricks used by fraudsters.
Okay.
So myself and my husband, we co-produced that movie.
Okay.
And over the years, we've done a lot of other jobs, and basically run a foundation which is into maternal health,
okay,
and the girl child education.
Mm.
So over the years, I have been advocating and I've been sourcing for ways for the girl child to be educated, not just the girl child, every single child.
Mm.
Because if a child is not educated today, they become a problem to the society tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And if your child is educated and the child of the other person is not educated, that other uneducated child is also going to be a problem in the society. So in a proactive measure to ensure that we fight crime, so we must engage in education, we must engage in healthcare. So I went about trying to build health centers by myself. It was later I realized that, come on, first of all, you cannot even mop up the funds, because people keep saying this is the job of government.
Mm-hmm.
This is the job of government. And it's true, it's the job of government. So I thought about it. If this is the job of government, why don't you get into government and get this done? So mm-hmm. when I was contesting for the State House of Assembly in Ibejulekki Constituency 1, I was advocating for
that
the...
That was when? 2015?
2019,
okay.
2018 into 2019,
mm.
I got the ticket for my party, the PDP. And my advocacy was for the healthcare center, because every single day, one woman was dying or the other. They go to give birth in traditional birth places, sometimes even in some kind of churches.
Mm-hmm.
And when there are complications, the women end up bleeding to death. And within the Ibejulekki axis, you know that there's no hospital, there's no maternal care for them there. All you have is small health centers that really not equipped,
right?
And the women have to go all the way to Lagos Highland.
Mm.
And most times before they get there, there's always a crisis. So I was advocating, it was part of my campaign policy, that when I get into the State House of Assembly, I'm going to use my influence to lobby that health center down to the constituency. So
right.
Though I did not win, my opponent saw it as a very big backlash for him, and they told me during the process that, don't worry, even if you don't win, we are going to do this for the women. And I'm proud to say today that it was done within the Abraham Addison axis. Oh, so the women, everybody's calling and they're happy. So I believe in engaging the process legitimately and trying to get your policy out there, trying to get your voice out there to speak for the women, because all of these negotiations are ongoing. It's just about the men. What about the women? We are not from Gabon. We are also Nigerians.
So you contested at that level and you got something done.
Yes.
Doesn't that negate your initial assessment or conclusion that you can't get anything done at that level unless it's from the center?
No. Why I say the major issues, that's just one of the issues we're dealing with. Right now, women are still dying. The statistics now is scary. In Nigeria, that we have only about 200 million people, more women die of maternal health-related issues than a country like India that has over 1.2 billion people. Mm. So how much work can you do at that level? Where people call you all the way. I want the foundation. So people get to, women get to call me from Kano, from Katsina, from Sokoto, all over the country. Women are being raped. Women are being abused. They are being abducted. I can't achieve that by just remaining within my local government. It hurts me. You know, when some people feel that because the crime is far away, then it's not really that problem. Mm. But it's her problem because it's a woman that is being involved. And the women in Nigeria have been the victims of all of the issues that we've been dealing with. Mm. So we cannot relegate that position or the job to take care of us for someone else. I'm not sure they are interested in taking care of the women. So I need to come out. I need to be able to protect my women. I need to be able to set up policies that can protect every child in this country. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where you come from. We all deserve to live. We all deserve healthcare. We all deserve education. And we have what it takes to put these things in place. That is what is annoying about this whole thing. Mm-hmm. We have everything it takes. So we have no business being where we are. Honestly.
Terrella, sit back. Just relax a little bit. Eh? Relax a little bit. How are you?
I'm okay.
You good?
I'm good. Mm.
Now, let's talk a little bit further about a few things. We're going to start with education that you mentioned earlier. We have millions of children, close to 15 million of them, you know, out of school in Nigeria. We have issue with federal government, ASUU. We have issues with NASU. We have issues in virtually every. If you go to schools, even here in Lagos, you see schools that are not well equipped. You see people of school age, you know, roaming the streets during school hours, sometimes in their uniform. What do you think is wrong with our education system?
Okay.
And how do you think this can be fixed?
Okay. So the problem in the education system cannot be isolated from the problem of healthcare. It cannot be isolated from the problem of electricity. It cannot be isolated from the problem of security. So that's why I believe that if we run a system, what I call the set agenda, security first, okay. Electricity next, okay. And the third is technology. Mm. So technology will be deployed to all sectors, including the educational sector.
To drive all the sectors.
To drive all the sectors. Now, okay. Taking the educational sector, for instance,
yeah.
Without data, you cannot have an effective educational system. Mm. What this means is that if Mama Cheesy or Mama Gloria or Mama Bosse is somewhere in one community, you should be able to know that she has five children and then three are in primary, two are in secondary. What it means is that in the next 7 to 10 years, the children will be in university, and then you go back to check, would there be spaces for them? Then if the question is no, then you start planning ahead. That is what a reasonable government should do. But you cannot do this without data, right? So it comes back to technology. That's just one part of it. If the children are tending towards sciences or arts, you know also the direction to go.
Yeah.
And from that young age, if they are tending towards sports, then you should know that, come on, we need sports academies to taking children from age 2, 3, 4, just the way it's done internationally. And you should be able to engage these students. We can see that our children are not engaged. Abroad, you can have, okay, after school, they go for tennis, they go for soccer, they go for something. Parents are there eating popcorn, watching their children. This is not the case. And within that age grade, the energy level is very high. If you do not engage them in tech, you don't engage them in sports, you don't engage them. Is it only church and mosques that people will be going to? So you find out that the government has not even started. That's what I'm saying. We have not started even trying to do the right thing. We need to go back as if nothing, as if we've not even started a country and start from the scratch. ASUU has been on strike right from when I was a child. I remember my older ones were always at home. So what it means is that the ASUU strike on its own has not been addressed. We need to draw a 10-year plan for the educational institutions such that if there's going to be a back and forth negotiation, it can start at the 7th year. And before you get to that 10th year, nobody has to go on strike. You can get things sorted out. Right now, there's a lot of capital flight. Our medical personnel are leaving. What do we do? You can set up a plan to ensure that there's no strike such that in the next 10 years, you would have graduated 2 batches of medical doctors. Mm. The same thing for the healthcare sector. So everything has to go back to starting and planning. Right. And without data, without technology, you cannot achieve that. Is it about the research? In a lot of schools, the people in the school that come up with research results that are productive, they sell for a lot of money, right, and the institutions make money from this. So it's a lot of work. Mm. We have to get all of, and the job is not one that does the Minister for Education can undo with the governor, with the president.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying that, including the president, the ministers, the governors, the local government chairman, all hands have to be on there. All the professionals from the education sector. And when it comes to the education plan, I believe that we have children of elders that needs to be schooled.
Okay.
We have children of farmers that need to be schooled. So we should run a school to ranch program and a school to farm program, where within the farms, the children can be schooled. Mm. Within the ranches, the children can be schooled. And even in the East, the Igbo apprenticeship program, we can see that it has worked to some extent, but it needs to be improved upon. Mm. So even as they're learning entrepreneurship, and by the time government provides power, so what it means is that there are no heavy generator sands at the marketplaces.
Right.
The children can have 2 hours to school without entrepreneurship. So by the time they are coming out very educated
sound,
and very sound in all sectors.
Indeed. Tariela, thank you for bringing that down. I'm going to come to you very quickly on another issue, and that is unemployment. But I'm tempted to go to the telephone right now to take just one call for you, if anybody has got questions for you. Lagos, Nigeria, you're welcome. It's the Morning Crossfire. We have another presidential hopeful in the studio this morning. She is Tariela Oba Oliver, and she is presidential poll on the platform of the PDP, the People's Democratic Party. But before I go to the telephone, you are the only female aspirant?
Yes, I am the only.
In the PDP?
Yes, please.
Nationwide?
Nationwide in the PDP.
Okay, all right. Let's take a call. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning to you. We can hear you. Please go on.
Hello.
Good morning to you. We can hear you.
Good morning.
Yes, please.
Is that Nigeria Info?
Yes, you're live on the radio.
Sorry?
Well, you're live on the radio. You're live on Nigeria Info.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Please, I would like to speak to Tariela on the issue of price regulation. Thank God he has really hammered on the data analysis, which is one of the driving forces in the economy. Please, I want to know how they intend to go about regulating prices in the economy, because everybody can wake up tomorrow and try to just fix price. Fine, with the supply of power. I know with that, companies should be able to...
Oh, we lost that call. I guess she was trying to...
Yes, I got the question.
Yes, please.
You see, it goes back to the economical issues we are talking about.
Yeah.
And it goes back to demand and supply. So when the supply is scarce and demand is higher, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be scarcity. Mm. Somebody can wake up and say, I'm increasing my price.
Yeah.
But when all factors of production have been put in place, there's power, there's electricity, you have people really competing, prices will come down. That's the honest truth. So that's what I'm saying.
So you're not going to fix any price. You're not going to I had somebody on the show yesterday that said he's going to
regulate
fix
forever. If you don't have power, you can't control it. If you do not put security in place, you cannot control prices. So the issue is give an enabling environment for positive competition and see prices regulate itself.
Oh, sorry.
So some of these things are not just about setting up policies. Set up the foundation that can make things work. When things start working, if your prices are too high, people will abandon you and go somewhere else.
Let's take this break. We'll return in a moment.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Oh yes, we're back on the Crossfire here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. If you're watching live on Facebook and YouTube, you're welcome. Thank you for joining us. If you've remained with us, it's 5 a.m. We are so glad. that you've been here since 5 a.m. and we love you for that. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Tarila Oba is here with me in the studio. She's the only female PDP presidential aspirant, and she's 37 years of age. And we've been discussing, even off air, we've been discussing as well. So feel free to drop your questions on social media platforms, on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3 as well. You can watch and see her live on those two platforms. You can also let us know what you think about her aspiration as well. If you've got questions for her, feel free to drop them. On Twitter, it's at Nigeria Info FM. WhatsApp number is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. That is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. I'm going to quickly talk to Tarila very briefly about unemployment, and then I'll come to the telephone and the other platform to take your reactions. Tarila, again, thank you so much for coming around. I know that you were out of town, but you had to come back into Lagos for this engagement. I want to say thank you for that.
Thank you.
Let's talk unemployment. Our youths are unemployed. Millions of them unemployed. Nigeria is a youth population. We got youthful population, which means that if we truly and honestly, sincerely engage our youth, we should be one of the richest in the world.
Yes.
How do we go about engaging our youths meaningfully?
Okay. So it goes back to the foundation of security right now. Why are people unemployed? It's because there are no jobs. Why are there no jobs? Because there are no industries. Why are there no industries? It's because there's no power and there's no security. So your country is not an investment destination. People do not want to come in. And we have also seen Nigerians go to invest in other countries that they consider favorable conditions. You know, when it comes to investment, it is not sentiment. It is business.
It's not driven by emotions.
It's not driven by emotions. People want to put in their money and they want to get returns. So have we put the factors of production in place? Have we done the right things? Do we have security in place? Until we deploy community policing. Because the constitution says that it is the primary responsibility of government to provide protect lives and properties. Also in that same constitution, it said the government shall annex the resources of the land for the good of the people.
Right.
We have resources scattered all over the country as I'm speaking to you, but there is no production of those resources. We are not adding value to those resources. It is the process of adding value to the resources that we create the jobs we are so looking for. So we must go back to the foundation, ensure that there's security, ensure that there's 24 hours electricity.
Right.
Then you cannot have the basis to start wooing investors. Right now, I tell people that our biggest investment in this country are the people. Our biggest investment is even tourism. We have over 200 ethnic groups. So if we have peace and stability in Nigeria,
right,
what it means is that every single week, one ethnic group or the other is having a festival. Have you thought about how much that would do for those in the craft industry? Have you thought about how much that would do for those in the entertainment industry? You have to look at the area of strength of your people. We are very talented.
You don't even have to put in much to get people engaged.
It is not even much. Do you know that young people have a lot of things they can do for themselves? Even deploying just tech hubs. You can stay in Nigeria and work in America. You don't need a visa to run the 21st century economy. Just for you to have data and for you to be able to deploy high power internet connectivity across boards, you're going to see things just change dramatically. So it's not the way we're looking at it, like, oh, everybody go and queue up and work in the civil service. We have a lot of civil servants that don't have anything to do. Do you understand? So it is a case of government going back. It's not trade policy that will solve this problem.
Yeah.
It is security. It is power. Then when you deploy technology in all sectors, right now you even harvest a lot of, when it's the season for tomatoes, we have more than half of that wasting because there's no processing. Same thing for all fruits. Same thing in the agricultural sector.
I was going to talk to you, you know, specifically about agriculture.
Yes.
There's a lot we can harness from agriculture.
I don't understand our problem.
Well, now that you've answered my question, I wanted to ask you what you think could be the problem, but you say you don't understand.
I don't understand because you can see clearly that the only way out is to have a secured environment. Farmers farmers cannot go to the farm right now. So what kind of policy are you going to put in for
that
agriculture?
Would work.
That will work. When farmers cannot just go to the farm. Is it the, what will they produce if you set up mechanism for production now, processing? What are they going to process if the farm does not even exist in the first place? Mm. So it goes back to community policing. At the security at the community level, let's just tell ourselves that we've not existed in the past 61 years and start afresh. There's nothing to build upon.
Let's hit the reset button.
Reset button. There's nothing to build upon. There's no sector you can look at now and say, let us build on this. There is nothing. Except the press. That's the only sector I can say that is functioning and working right now. And of course, because you guys are working independently. But you also know that you are not making money. Because for you to power your stations and all of those things is so expensive. So the people in this sector, they are not rich people. They are just service. They are just serving the community.
It's also we don't have money.
You're just serving the community. But if the factors of production were in place that you don't have to pay so much to have power, there will be more money to pay the staff.
Right.
So it has to go back to that same security, that same electricity and technology for all sectors, because I don't want to deceive myself that everything will work automatically overnight, but let some things work. If you address the issue of security and power, it will start readdressing so many other issues and things will just start falling in place, because we know that corruption is a major factor. The fact that people can steal monies made for other things is also causing a lot of setbacks. So what do? You deploy technology to ensure that you even prevent people from stealing, not for them to steal and you start chasing them.
Let me ask you a question that quite some people are maybe trying to put through now, because it's part of our job too, to anticipate what the question that people would ask. And this question is, do you think Nigeria is ready for a female president?
Whether they are ready or not, it doesn't really matter.
We'll give them.
They have to accept the truth. No, it's not being ready. So people just need to reset their mindset.
Yeah.
And stop looking at me like, because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
This is the solution. And whether they accept it or not, it doesn't really matter. But there's no other way than to decentralize, than to take everything back to the people at the community level. We have seen severally where some people come up, or government comes up and says, I want to set up a mini tech hub in some schools.
Yeah.
And they bring laptops and all of that. Do you know that most times within the next 1 month, those things are gone? They've been stolen. Because some people feel that it belongs to the government in Abuja, so this is their own. But when the community people are part of the process,
they will take ownership.
What we need is for people at the community level to take ownership. When they do, they will not deploy, they will award a contract, and some people and stop the contract from happening.
How can we sell that ownership idea to the people at the grassroots? Because I agree with you. I don't normally do that, but I agree with you that there's a huge disconnect between the government and the governed.
Yes.
They don't believe, they don't trust, they don't have any connection at all. What they want is this what you have brought to us? Give us, we'll take it. You can go and be doing whatever it is you want to do. You know, like you said, they will vandalize this, vandalize that, because according to them, it's their own benefit.
Yes.
Of the government that we have. If we have to sell this idea of taking ownership to the people at the grassroots, what could be the most effective way of selling the idea?
Okay, so it has to be transparency. They need to be able to trust government that you mean well.
Okay.
And by doing that, you need to take those things one step at a time so they can build trust. So by the time you start with security, and we try to tell them that some of the things you are protesting for, you don't really need to protest for them if government does the right thing. For instance, take security. You take someone from Akwa Ibom, you train him into the Nigerian police, you take him to Zamfara or Borno or one of those states. He doesn't know the people. He doesn't know the terrain. He doesn't understand the language. He becomes a soft target. So it's not even a win for the government. It's not a win for the people. But if you take people within that Zamfara community, train them, deploy them back there to that community, nobody is going to wake up and say, I'm going to shoot you and nothing's going to happen. That statement is coming from a point of no accountability. Nobody knows the person. The person can bolt away and nothing happens. So when government takes this step, for instance, and people see, okay, we now have a more secure community, and this is not about origin, it's about everybody that has been living here. There are some people that are from Enugu, all their life they were born in somewhere like Borno, Zamfara. That's all they know. They must be integrated into the society. Let's stop those primitive systems. But why that is happening is because people do not trust the government. So there's this fear. But when they see that government, it means well for everybody, right? From there, you take it to the next step of power. Okay, if power is decentralized, like I've been complaining and I've been advocating that it has no business being on the exclusive list, take it to the concurrent list. Let state governments set up power for themselves. The north is very high with sun. So we can have solar. They can even sell to other places. In the south, the same thing, gas. Everybody has something that works for them. When you have power, then people can say, okay, fine. Industries can start springing up. And in that process, when the government at the center wants to be the one to hold on to gold, hold on to oil, hold on to bitumen, hold on to salt, hold on to everything, you can see the government is not able to do anything because it's just, you are just one person. But by the time you have a data system, a transparency system, you deploy technology such that the local government chairman can be having a meeting with the president without coming to Abuja, and you are the representative from the center, from the state at the local level, they are there in one accord with the partners and investors. There's this transparency. You are going to take away a lot of this illegal mining and all of these things. People do illegal mining and illegal production because the state has not made a transparent means for them to get it legitimately. So all of these things will go ahead buying trust. Right. So once trust is bought and people are getting educated and getting empowered, then we start building trust from there and people understand that, okay, government means well for the all of us. That way you can get that buying.
I hear you. 8:43 is the time. Our next conversation will be women's participation in politics. But let's get some calls in. Lagos, you're welcome. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. The second line is for female callers only. That's 01465-7190. You can watch on Facebook and on YouTube. You can drop your comments, your questions for Tariela Oba Oliver on those platforms, or just Tari if you like, and let's have your thoughts in. Let's begin now. We lost that. Let's take another one. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
My name is Matthew. I'm calling from Obaduri, Lasu Sherry Road.
You're welcome.
Your guest there has something upstairs. He has a lot of things bottled up. And I want to ask, whether she has ever passed through Lasu Igondo Road. If you take a look at the left side where these traders sell fruits, oranges are packed there, and you have Lasu, University of Lagos there, Lagos State University in front. No research, students cannot even do research on how to preserve
minimize waste.
What will she do for research in this country?
Research, science. Tari.
Okay. So it goes back to trying to fix things from the foundation. You know, when it comes to research, research has to do with funding.
That's right. Right?
So that's one of the major issues right now, because I've tried to speak to a lot of friends that are in the education sector. Everything is complicated. Everything is not working. It needs to be rejigged, because even right now, the education sector will tell you that they don't have money. Do you know that all the monies that are being paid by students are not accounted for? Nobody knows where that money is going. Nobody knows the total amount. So all of these things we help when we deploy tech and we establish the research institutions or the research centers,
right,
and to ensure that they are equipped with whatever they need, and it is run independently. So it has to do with, it's not that people are not available to do research. The factors that we enable them are not put in place. So we need to look into the factors and what are the challenges and get the professionals involved. And let it be transparent so that if someone is diverting money for research, it is put out there. This is the person.
Right.
The person will be held accountable. People will fall in place.
Accountability.
Yes.
Olainka Adeleye on YouTube says, your plan are lofty and optimally optimistic. The main concern is, who are those to work with you? Do you have the same vision or do they have the same vision? That's what he's trying to say. Or interest.
Okay. For me, I'm going to use public opinion a lot.
Okay.
And it's already working. Public opinion in the sense that let the people decide who works.
Oh, really?
Yes. Let the people decide who works. So if we want to have like a minister for education, for instance, throw in your CVs. Let us get the best. Come and tell us what you want to do.
Will that not take you forever?
No, like... it's not going to take forever because in 24 hours, you can attend to several people. Don't forget that.
It's Nigeria. It's a whole country.
It is technology. We are deploying tech. Even right now, I'm reaching my delegates via tech.
Okay.
You know why these things look like it's going to take forever? Because you have only one person trying to do this. This is going to be everybody.
Okay.
So if your CV is put out there, you know how gossip works in Nigeria. Mm. In less than 30 minutes, people will dig into it and dig out of it, you know? And they'll be able to come up to say, no, this person is not fit. So the first thing is to get people that are fit and to get people that are detribalized and get people that will buy into the vision. And we deploy down and do the job.
Right. That message is from Olainka Adeleye on YouTube. We'll take another call. Let's just take a female call now. Good morning to you.
Hello, Sheriff. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning. We can hear you.
Yes, my name is Loretta. I'm calling you from Ajawa State.
Welcome, Loretta.
Terry, I just love what I'm hearing. I mean, coming from the female side, I'm not a person that wants to say that because she's a woman, let's give her the job. No, she has something upstairs. She has. If only we can give her the opportunity, this woman will deliver. I can assure you. I don't like the fact that I said, oh, she's a woman. She cannot do that. She's a woman.
Right.
You're driving on the road. Look at how she drove. That's a woman. No, I don't like that. Because she's a woman, she's also a human being. She stands a chance to become the president of this country. Yes, we have other aspirants. You know, we have listened to them. The other day we had Peter Obi on your show and all that. We have people. This lady can do more if only she's given the chance.
Right.
I don't know how we can do it, Nigerians. Please, if we can have this recorded and replayed for people to listen, to make their judgment, to attitude, no wonder what they want.
Thank you, Loretta.
Everybody wants a good system. Everybody wants a good governance.
Thank you. So for the recorded part, we are always having recorded versions of our shows on our website, nigeriainfo.fm. All our shows are there. In fact, we have a special tab on our website where all our conversations around 2023 elections are there. So you can go watch, you can go read, and go listen to all our shows concerning 2023 elections. They're always there. So yeah, you can go there, download and share if you want. Let's take another call. Good morning to you. We lost that one. Let's take another one. Good morning to you. Morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Chris, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry. How are you today?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
And good morning to your guest.
Tari.
Well, it's been very interesting. My name is MKO.
Welcome, MKO.
It's been very interesting listening to but I just want to ask a question. Does she think all these things she was relaying to us is not known to... Does she think she's the only one that has this knowledge? I think other aspirants that worked for us or that ruled us has always come up with this kind of stories. But education is a problem in Nigeria. Has she been in government before? Has she tried to educate all these plans in station? Hello, is anybody hearing me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. We lost you for a bit.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You were talking about education, right?
No, I'm talking about the plans.
Okay.
All those plans she has, has she been in government before?
Oh, okay, okay.
Has she really executed all these things in any organization before? Because education is a major part of plans.
Right.
She has a lot of things.
Thank you. Thank you, MKO. Thank you. Thank you so much. Tari, let's start with MKO.
Let me take him.
Yes.
The difference between what I'm saying and what every other person is saying is just one. and that is decentralization. You might have a lofty idea, fantastic idea, but you find out that when you get caught up in the system of government, you cannot do it because it becomes cumbersome. It is 774 local governments we are talking about. So the local government chairman must be involved in the educational plan. The state governors must be involved. I said it earlier that it's not a job for just the Minister of Education. You're going to get drawn in this. The people are even when we're talking about the entrepreneurship skill in the East, for instance, you cannot do it without getting the leadership, the traditional institutions, the religious institutions, everybody else to get to work. So that's the difference between what I'm saying. I'm not just saying, oh, we need good schools. How? The question is, how
is
we make
an infomercial.
Hold on, please. We'll be back. All right, go on, please. Apologies.
So
for
the question is, how will you make these things possible? And the how for me is to decentralize power, to get everybody involved, everybody to own the project of education, everybody to own the project of healthcare, so that when monies want to be diverted or people are attempting to divert these funds that are collective funds, nobody is going to come back and say, because the person diverting this is from my village, let us protect him.
Yeah,
that is a big problem. So we all need to be involved and engage positively.
All right. I think I can squeeze in one more call, maybe two, just maybe. Should we go to what's... Oh, yeah. Everywhere is full with comments. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So I can't take this call because you altered your voice. So I will not be able to take it. I'm sorry. You could have called with your real voice and then decide to be anonymous. All right. Thank you for trying, though. Appreciate it. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning to you, please.
Can I hear you.
Me? I can hear you. Please go on.
Okay. Eberi is my name. I'm calling from...
Welcome. Georgia. Welcome. Quickly.
Yeah. I like her articulation, but where is she coming from? What has she done? Where has she, you know, what has she done before so that at least we can take a cue from there of what she can do if she becomes the president of Nigeria?
All right.
Good morning.
Right. Good morning to you too, sir. Thank you. Incidentally, I have another comment here who also asked the same question, like, what have you done in the public space? Have you worked in the public space before? And the likes of it.
Okay, so apart from being running private enterprises, foundations and all that, I was also the technical advisor to the governor, Women in Agriculture. Okay. And we're able to implement the gender-based policy.
Okay.
And it's also part of my job was part of why we even had to set up the state anti-gracing law, because the women, I was reaching out to women at the community level.
Right.
Women could no longer go to the farms because they were being raped and sexually abused in their farms. So I had to escalate this. So basically, when somebody is saying, what have you done, what can anybody in government do in the case of electricity right now?
Right.
Because the laws are saying that even if you get investors coming, even if they are able to generate power, you cannot transmit and you cannot distribute. So it's not a question of what have you done.
Right.
It's a question of the vision, because most times with the vision, I've not been a president before, and most of the issues are centered in the presidency. It takes the president to be able to correct most of these things we're talking
Tari,
about.
You know, Tari, we have to go. But please, before you go, are you on social media?
Yes, Tari Oliver 444. That's Twitter and Instagram. And Tari Oliver for Facebook.
Tari is T-A-R-I, right?
Yes, T-A-R-I, Oliver, O-L-I-V-E-R, 444. That's 444.
Okay.
And I have a website, www.tarioliver.org.ng.
We have to go now. Lagos, we're done. Good morning to you.
All your screen wahala with Shikili 9,000 Naira. Just 9,000 Naira. You will begin tranga anyhow. As one worry no day again, because of the complete care service way there on top of your new A-Series. We guarantee access.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.